Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 7 to the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. We're having a great visit with Mike Salzman. Michael is VP for Berman & Company, Research Director for Employment Policy Institute. EPI.com, is that right? Or .org?
EPIonline.org.
EPIonline.org, and then...
EPI.org is the union-backed think tank.
There you go. All right, so check that out. Yeah, we don't want to get those confused. So, because they are not the same. All right, companion issues with minimum wage or other are some of the other areas that you cover. Talk to us about those.
Well, I think the labor groups that are pushing these have sort of realized that there's a succession their long term strategic plan is essentially that if they can't get workers to voluntarily agree to be in unions. That they'll try and legislate some of these things from City Hall. And so the next step after minimum wage is union-style work rules in the workplace. And so that sort of ranges from requirements on how and when you can work and penalties for employers if they make changes to your schedule. And it's very similar to a collective bargaining agreement where if you're scheduled to work a shift and then the employer says, hey, if there's a rainy day today and we don't need you at the ice cream store, you still have to pay that employee for up to 4 hours of work, even if they actually haven't come in.
That sounds like France.
or a grocery store or a retailer that had a collective bargaining agreement for years. It's a little bit of a head scratcher of a strategy for me because I think I kind of understand that unions looking for relevance, but I also think they're if they legislate these kind of things from City Hall, in some cases it seems like they're giving workers even less of a reason to want to be part of a union.
Right.
I think the bet they're making, though, is that, when someone's full-time, they're more likely to think union. If you look at unionized workers nationwide, the overwhelming majority are full-time. So I think their bet is if we can get rid of some of these part-time positions and have more full-time positions, these people would be more likely to think, hey, I want to pay dues to a union.
Yeah, I just don't see the long-term path for unions. Do you? I mean, ultimately, aren't they going to finally just the critical mass of for them? I have a hard time seeing, unless they're successful with some of the political campaigns that they're working on, and they find a lot of favor in some of these houses.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there are, I think unions have, there are certain strongholds in the country right now where, their political power is at its peak, in places.
California.
San Francisco. Yeah, that's right. California, cities there, San Francisco.
New York, Seattle. New York, New Jersey.
That's right, yeah. So there are places where unions are really powerful. They're really powerful in the public sector, generally across the country. And then they have these little sort of, areas of power. I mean, the National Labor Relations Board the last 8 years has been very pro-union.
They've been, God forbid you're a company that chooses to open up a plant in a right to work state. They'll come after you. The Obama and NLRB will come after you.
Yeah,
ask Boeing about that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. How unbelievable is that? I mean, I think it's funny. You look back over the last 8 years and you sort of, some of these small events go down the memory hole, but you think about some of the things that came out of there with the threats against Boeing, quickie election rules, persuader rule, kind of all these things that, may not resonate with the general public, but if you're a labor lawyer, if you're someone in business, you know exactly what that rule was designed to do.
Everything that the unions are trying to get done through legislation, I mean, any fair-minded person would say, well, that's completely in favor of union, and this is it puts the business owner at a disadvantage at moment one, right out of the box.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's, I think, it, and I think it's a topic you've hit on before, that kind of the tilted playing field. And I think it's tough to say that you're someone who supports and thinks about small business when the regulations and the actions that you're taking are so out of step with that. I think that's what we've seen the last 8 years.
When the unions see, and it seems like the Obama administration seems like businesses are the enemy. That's how we, I'll tell you, Mike, that's how we feel out here on Main Street. We feel like we're the enemy, and I want to remind all those folks what Senator Tsongas once said. He said you can't hate the employer and love the employee. You got to reconcile both of those. Hey, Mike, thanks for being here. Good job. Come back soon.
Jim, always great to be on. Thanks a lot.
Michael Saltzman, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.